Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
High and dry in sunny Arizona. Good morning, y'all. Our prayers certainly go out to the millions of people in the path of Hurricane Florence. Sounds like it's going to be quite a water event. We were doing some calculations here before the show. As we calculate it, the amount of water that will fall will fill the Chesapeake Bay or fill Lake Powell three times. So, how many trillions of gallons? 19 trillion gallons of water will fall from the sky? Is that what we calculated, bud?
I thought we were saving that for 9 o'clock.
We are saving it for the 9 o'clock hour. We are. That's a 9 o'clock topic. 10 o'clock topic, we're going to be talking about garden sites throughout the state of Arizona that you could go see. We'll be giving you a Romero tour of the great state of Arizona. Garden sites you should take a look at before you plant or remodel or rejuvenate your yard around your house, home, castle, or cabin. 9 o'clock will be open hour. 8 o'clock, John J. Harper will be in. We'll be talking, I think, a little bit about winter vegetable gardening. It's time now to get that garden in. So here we've got, here in the 7 o'clock hour, a special guest. As y'all know, the 7 o'clock hour is our people, places, and things of Arizona. And we're going to do a series on the castles of Arizona. So you've heard me say for 30 years, Rosie on the House is everything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin. And we identified castles throughout the whole state of Arizona that we're going to highlight and tell the history and the story of. And we thought we would start with the iconic Tovery Castle. You may know it as the Wedding Cake Castle. And to come in and share with us the history of this, we've got Tamara Zivic, the president of the Tovery Carraro Society.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
All right. So you're here to share with all of our listeners the story of the Tovery Castle.
It's a long story.
How does that start? I mean, give us the background of settling the site and the beginning of the construction project.
Well, way back in the 1900s, it actually was homesteaded by a family named Warner. They ended up having 320 acres out in Booneyville, as we used to say, because it wasn't anywhere close to Phoenix. Tempe was close by. In 1928, a gentleman who had made a lot of money in the sheet metal business during the San Francisco earthquake, Mr. Alessio Carraro, came out, and he saw the property, and he bought 277 acres. So within 14 months, he took that 277 acres, and he formed it into cactus gardens and built a 5,000-square-foot castle-looking building that he was going to open up as a boutique hotel. So the idea was that people would come and stay in the hotel. They'd fall in love with the desert like he had, and then they would buy home sites. So it was really a home development idea, and the castle would be the community center, basically. However, when he was finished, and after he'd won some awards for having all kinds of lights and even a Christmas tree strapped on top of the cupola for the where the flag usually goes.
Yeah.
He won all kinds of awards for that every year for Christmas. 1929, the Depression hits. Nobody's visiting Arizona anymore. Building has stopped. Nobody's going to buy home sites. So the Tovery family had been running a packing plant next door.
Sure.
For about, since 1919, they saw that it was available, and they bought 44 of the 277 acres, which included the castle. So that's where it ended up being an actual family home. They lived there until Della's death in 1969, and the Tovery Family Foundation owned it until the late 80s when the city of Phoenix purchased it.
And Mr. Carraro, he goes where after selling it to Tovery's?
So
He goes back to San Francisco? Guy. Or?
No, he actually keeps on. He does some mining in the Huachuca Mountains. He is a water witch, and he develops a lot of different patented instruments to do that. He's well known for being an actual real water witcher. And he ends up in Yarnell at Carraro Grotto, where he built a little castle in the mountains or in the rock formations, and he opened up a rock zoo, and it's still there.
A rock zoo.
A rock
Cactus
zoo.
Gardens, rock
zoo. Rock zoo. He saw that each one of these big granite boulders looked like an animal. And what he did was then he painted on each one. Well, this looks like a dinosaur. This looks like an elephant. And people would come up and visit with him, and he would stay in his little castle structure. And he passed away up there in 1964. But people are still welcome to go and see what? That grotto. The gentleman that owns it loves people to come and visit, just like Mr. Carraro did.
In Yarnell.
In Yarnell.
And that's called what? The Yarnell?
The Carraro Grotto. Carraro. It's actually right on the path where our firefighters walked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So he builds as a sheet metal man, he comes down and builds this masonry structure. And you almost have to be an engineer to understand this is a complicated building to build.
Yes, it is. The neat thing about it is every structure that he put, from the fuel house to the machine shop to the Carraro cabin and the cottage for the caretakers, they all have sheet metal roofs. And they all have a cupola on them. So they all reflect his past and his future with the castle. But it's actually also one of the first buildings in town, and I believe one, the first commercial building that is stucco, because only the basement has block.
Okay.
And then the upper floors are all made out of pine.
Okay, all framed.
All framed.
Framed and stuccoed.
And no plans. He would draw the plans in the dirt, so it looks a little bit different. There's only a couple of renderings of what it was supposed to look like that were published in the Arizona Republican,
yeah,
the name of the newspaper at the time. But otherwise, it looks a lot different. Had to blast everything because it's total granite, and all the brick and the block on the site was made on site. So he had a crusher, and he had a machine that would make them into bricks. And let me tell you, those things are heavy.
Well, do you have any idea how many people worked on that? How big his crew was?
You know, we have pictures of about 12 to 14 men, but we know that at any given time, others came in, and most all of them were locals.
And he built it in 14 months.
14 months.
No plans.
Nope.
No building permits.
Nope.
No.
That was that's a big thing.
That was probably
yeah,
a good thing.
That's the inspector to come out and make his rounds.
No codes.
No codes.
And no inspections.
Nope.
Yeah, that would speed a job up.
Well, let's put it this way. There were a lot of inspections. He had that open all the time because he was quite the promoter. He wanted people to come on site to see what was going on. So I'm sure he got a lot of insights from a lot of different people. And he actually was able to get a bus stop from Phoenix, which was at 16th Street, was the edge of Phoenix at the time. And they brought people down Van Buren to Carraro Heights on that bus line. Dropped them right there.
That was a city bus line?
City bus line. We have pictures of it going up the hill. I'm not sure how they got down the hill.
So that's the first time the city was subsidizing a real estate developer.
Evidently.
Driving potential lot buyers on a city bus up to Carraro Heights. I never knew it was originally designated or originally intended to be a housing subdivision.
Yep. Yep. He was going to make some money. You know, the people would use the castle as the place to come and visit. And then they would say, hey, this is the place to be.
Well,
it was
it
just
is.
Such bare, flat desert. I mean, of all the places around with the mountains all around the city for him to pick right in the middle of the desert, just exposed to full
sun.
Well,
he had that. He had the natural hilltop to create the castle. But what he didn't know is when I was in engineering college at ASU, you have to take geology classes, and when they want to teach you about caliche, which is almost impossible to dig through, they take you to Papago Park. and Carrero Heights, and they say, this is why no homes were ever built in this area. We can't get the septic tanks to leach. This is caliche. It's called God's concrete. And the entire area, just inches below the surface, is literally impenetrable.
Well, when people come for tours, they don't understand how important it is for them to use the modern restrooms in the visitor center, because there are none on the property once they get on that tram and go on that tour, because all of that was above ground. And when the city refurbished it, they closed all that off because nobody was going to live there. So we've got lovely porta potties, but the underground water and that, it just doesn't exist.
All right. We're talking here this morning with Tamara Zivic. She is the president of the Tovey Carraro Society, which is an all-volunteer organization involved in managing and running the Tovey Castle at Carrara Heights. And I want to get back to that in a little bit and talk about, okay, we've got an all-volunteer society running a city-owned piece of property.
Yes.
What a great relationship for the city.
And for us, too.
And the city ended up picking this property back up when?
Late 80s. They had a series of three bond elections to first purchase the property in different plots.
I want to talk about that as what the bonds were involved in. So the city ends up buying this property, which was in some state of disrepair, and
yes,
has it for a lot of years and can't really do anything with it. But then eventually we get it open to the public, and I want to talk about that when we get back here at Rosie on the House.